Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello there, please. This is one of, if not my most favourite ever Hoovering episodes. It's with one of my bucket list guests of my dreams because she's utterly iconic. It is the very, 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 very brilliant and funny Grace Dent. She has a new book out, sort of based on her podcast called Comfort Eating. So lucky me and lucky us. I got the chance to Hoover with her about it. Before we get into this, I just wanted to talk to you about potentially becoming a patron of this podcast, because that's how we afford to exist. And it's where some of you absolute heroes already give me a few quid a month, and I use that towards paying for the guests and the production of this show. And it's not just for a laugh. I will swap you stuff in exchange for your dosh, things including regular monthly exclusive content just for you, discount tickets for some people, free tickets to live Hooverings, right through to early and ad-free episodes. There's also loads of other bits and bobs you could get. You could even get a credit on the show. Anyway, thanks if you are a patron already, and if you're not, but you've got even as little as 2 quid a month spare and you might be up for it, head over to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Also, it's part of my job to remind you to give the podcast a 5-star review and subscribe to it, so please do, but mainly just thank you for listening, please. I'm off on tour from February 2024 through to the summer with a new stand-up show called Metal. I would love to see you wherever near your house I am coming to. Tickets are out any second now. Go to @JessicaFostercue on Instagram, or my website is jessicafostercue.com. There's a mailing list. I've got a mailing list, which if you sign up to it, you'll be the first to hear about tickets and all sorts of other great shit too. Okay. That'll do, please. I'm so excited to share this with you. I'm beaming that I got to have this conversation. We've recorded in East London at the London Podcast Studios, and Grace and I are eating my chosen comfort foods, and you'll be unsurprised to learn they are many. Thank you for doing this.
I'm glad to be here.
In celebration of your beautiful brand new book, Comfort Eating, which is inspired by your podcast series, is that, or like there's a lot of inspiration taken from those conversations by the sounds of it?
I think I set out to write a book inspired by my podcast, but very quickly ended up writing another harrowing memoir about death. with added potato waffles, which is starting to be what I do. I sit down and I go, oh, I think I'll just write a lovely little gorgeous book you can read on the toilet that's just funny and frothy. And then after about 4 days, I'm like going, as I held my mother's toe as she died, I ate a cheese sandwich. And I'm like, oh, you're doing it again, Grace. You're doing it again. So I'm going to, it is inspired by the show. But yeah. Also, I definitely got inspiration from the fact that people came in time and time again and brought the same types of things. So you got loads. We get so much potato and bread and pasta and buttery things.
There's things a chapter with, dedicated to butter in the book, and I
butter why butter makes everything better.
Oh, and, that's great.
Time and time again, people bring, you know, Heinz tomato soup.
Just tins of Heinz tomato soup.
Tins of Heinz tomato soup with some kind of zhuzh. So Nella Cherry comes to the house. She's putting peanut butter into tomato soup.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's that.
Shut up. What a great idea.
I think it's this feeling that we all have. I think tomato soup is a feeling that just ricochets us back to rudimentary childcare, where you would come in with cold feet after being in the snow and your mother would kind of give you some tomato soup. And I think that we always look for that for the rest of our lives. We're always looking for... Same with this array of snacks that you've got in front of me at the moment.
Well, I've done in light of to celebrate the book, because I spent the whole... Well, I spent the whole book doing laughing out loud.
Oh,
and within... Which is a record of any book. Within a page, I'd honked out loud with laughter.
I love a
and
honk.
Cried. I'd snort laughed and cried within a page. That's extraordinary. And then I went on to spend the whole book cracking up, but also going, oh, about the food. I mean, you do just go, oh, so I've bought some of my comfort foods, but there were so many that, not just things that people mentioned that I thought, well, I haven't thought about that for 20 years. But and you must have had that in those conversations, but and I've had it on this podcast as well, where a memory comes up. But there was one in particular. I remembered eating something that I had forgotten since it happened. And I realised how many of my decisions it's been informing. And essentially a dream that I've been unknowingly chasing for 30-something years. It was just a jacket potato with cheese.
Yeah.
I was a child and it was a wet day. We had been on a long, boring walk. I grew up in Dorset. This probably happened in somewhere called something like Sea Scuff or Chiddery, Chiddick, somewhere like that, somewhere pebbly, you know, salty mouth. And we stopped at a pub for lunch. And I remember, you know, adults having lovely big booze and being freezing and being really hungry. And this jacket potato and cheese came. And I remember everyone laughing. And I remember feeling like crying with joy. And I was one of those children who could eat and was rightly lauded for that. You know, and this was one of those moments where I think, you know, they were like, oh, the circus has come to town. And I think even this little girl won't manage this. And it wasn't to do with a spud. It was an average-sized spud. But it was how little they'd fucked about with the cheese. I think they must have used an entire oblong of cheddar, if not more. This is my memory, and it could be slightly inaccurate, but let's say it's fact. It was bubbling over like lava. It was sweating. There were dewdrops on it. There were rivers pouring out of it, and it had started to re-solidify.
The best.
It was sort of...
Like I love how emotional you're getting about this. I absolutely love this.
It was like a better Pompeii. It was like this should be in a museum, this, somewhere. I don't feel like my description's doing it justice.
But and I love that you remember this through the freeness of the adults and the kind of the slight, you know, the smell of the booze. Everybody's having a little pint at lunchtime and it's a holiday and the salt in your mouth. And it's that, isn't it? You can't, we don't get that when you go to a fancy restaurant. People are bending over backwards to give you a culinary journey. And they do. But we very rarely talk about this type of eating. Oh, it's so, so lovely.
And where actually the joy of it is, there is something different and extraordinary about having something cooked for you by someone with extraordinary talent and skill and all of these things where, you know, it would be a travesty not to stop and take time and have your mind blown by each mouthful. Mm. But in this, there's another side of eating, which I talk about a lot on this podcast anyway, that feels, and it feels, I think, still weirdly transgressive as a woman to admit that actually it's not about food, it's about eating. Mm. There's a difference. Mm. And I think sometimes with something like that, you look at that and you know there's no way that you're going to be satisfied in a very basic animal glorious way. It's yes. a feast, a simple feast.
Yes. I'm already thinking that, I mean, I'm very tired today.
Oh.
And look, we're all tired. Everyone's tired. But I'm tired because I've been doing all these different mad things. I had hardly any sleep last night. And I've already planned. This is the last thing that I'm doing today.
Oh, good.
And I'm already thinking about, I'm going to take my bra off.
Yeah.
I will be in my house by this point. I'm going to put my pyjamas on. I'm going to go to the top drawer of delicious things.
Yes.
And I've got a box of Minions Fondant Fancies.
Wow, I didn't know that was a thing.
So they're just your normal French Mr. Kipling's fancies.
Yeah.
But they're Minions themed. There's literally... Great.
Is it just yellow icing and everything else is identical?
Just the same. It's what Mr. Kipling's do. What Mr. Kipling's do is just repackage the exact same things time and time again and go, oh, it's a Halloween cake. You're like, these are mince pies. Just Mr. Kipling, these are mince pies yet again. So, yeah, it's funny how as a woman, though, you're not really meant to say that, are you? I love that thing that women younger than me started saying, which is goblin mode.
Yeah, goblin mode. That's lovely.
It's so like goblin mode. The idea of going through, say, 3 or 4 days in your house where you do not have to make yourself acceptable to life. Yeah. The idea of just ambling around and letting your armpit hair get a bit funky.
Yeah.
It's all a bit smelly. And you haven't even changed your knickers.
Yeah.
You're just walking about with tracksuit bottoms over because they're far too big. They're not even yours. You just inherited them off a boyfriend. And you're wearing an old Camp Bunak t-shirt. You don't know where you got it. And like your skin's dry and your dry hairspray is encrusted in pools in your hemline. And you're just eating cereal out the box. You're the antithesis of everything that Instagram says a woman should now be. And I love that. It's goblin mode. The idea
goblin mode is gorgeous.
And the air fryer was such a boon to goblin mode because you're just going, fish fingers, 4 minutes, I think so.
Frozen corn sausage roll, 8 minutes. Job done. Absolutely done. And then exactly what you mean. And every now and again you get a little waft of yourself and think,
yes.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's me.
That's me. I am woman. I've been there.
I am woman. And I smell.
A peak moment of that, and it was, sadly, it was a while ago now, I would sometimes in those patches of time have a tin of Heinz macaroni cheese.
Love it.
Just cold.
Yes. But I would argue that these things are better cold.
Yeah.
Because...
You can pretend that that's why they taste of nothing.
Well, I think that when you heat them, the sauce becomes watery.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just eat it cold out of the tin, you're getting that full power of the... I think it's cheese.
I think it's cheese. It's yellow.
Cheesy
it must be.
I love that macaroni cheese out of a tin, though. I mean, it's not anything like it's meant to taste.
But even the macaroni doesn't taste really of pasta.
Yeah, it's just transferring carbohydrate into your stomach.
Yeah. It's a sort of... Yeah, it's an oral equivalent of a drip, really, isn't it?
In a loveless world... Yeah. It is sometimes the closest thing that you can get to a cuddle.
So 40-year-old me's version of this is, and I don't know if you've tried this, Santa Girl Blue Creme.
I think the Santa Girl Blue Creme, I'm so delighted that you love this because I've said a few times, this stuff is such a good thing to have in your fridge.
Yeah.
People are really sniffy about it. Because it's liquid cheese.
Yeah.
And they think that it's probably really tastes synthetic and disgusting. you can stick that in pasta and it's got such an authentic, to use a technical term, posh cheese taste. Yeah.
I was waiting for an actual technical term.
It's such a blast of stinky blue,
yeah,
really funky cheese.
It is. It's really potent.
It's a good dip, but it's also a good pasta sauce.
Yeah,
I'm opening it up.
I'm opening it. Also, I think if needs be, at the right moment, it's a drink.
You could just eat it.
You could just drink it. So I've got some mini Greek flatbreads. I didn't. I also am big into M&S. Have done a rip-off version of Dr. Carg's crackers or a flatbread. What I really wanted.
I'm going to go in and have the flatbread because I feel like a sesame and linseed whole grain flatbread and broadcasting are two things that.
You put it so nicely in the book that no comfort food can include fresh tarragon. And no. I did think these were almost too bougie, these M&S crackers.
You need something
soft and dippy.
The cracker is verging on some kind of something that would be good for your bowels, and that is not allowed
in
any...
That's not what we're here for. We're not here for gut health. Mm. Right, I'm going in. I'm going to go quite heavy on the cheese because I've got one life.
I love that.
Mm.
Mm. That sandwich is just on the verge of offensive, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really opinionated.
Like if you...
Mm. Yeah.
Some people would find that too much.
I like the sort of food that if you're on a date or you're with someone you would love to kiss, you sort of have to agree to both have it or you mustn't have it. It feels like it's on that list, this cheese.
Oh, I always spend the first 6 months of my relationships pretending I don't eat. I've just got an appetite like a bird. You wait until they're fully committed, until they see you just standing in the light of the fridge.
The true light.
Yeah. Eating biryani out of a silver... silver foil in Asda leggings. And you're like, bitch, you love me now. What are you going to do? Mm,
oh, God. I mean, I've never managed it. I've always had to be honest from the off about the hunger. But what I conceal for a good year is the rage.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't tell them about the rage. Now, I'm also going to have a bit of Primula because I've not bought this for decades. Mm. And, oh, God, I really love that cheese. The Primula, I'd forgotten about, and I used to have it as a child and used to love it. And I think the reason I say it's your book that reminded me of it. Mm. Sadly, I saw it again for the first time in years, pre-book as well, in another context. But sadly, the context was a friend buys it to use as a treat for her little dog. She's got a little dog called Rita, and every now and again she just squirts a little bit of Primula out onto her finger and Rita licks that.
It's just her finger, though.
And it didn't make me want Primula cheese. I've gone for cheese and ham.
I think...
Because actually I couldn't bring myself to even handle cheese and prawn.
I don't think I've eaten Primula for a while, and I'm going to say, is it as good as it used to be?
Yeah, well, let's find out.
When?
I'm just going to cleanse my palate with this Diet Coke.
I used to squirt it directly into my mouth as a child while my mother screamed into the living room, "You're not eating that Primula, are you? No! No! Hang on. That was when I was a child. That wasn't like 21. Sure.
My 7-year-old does it with ketchup. He'll squirt ketchup, or he'll get it from you know, the little sort of cup things that it comes in and takeaway places.
Okay.
Mm.
Hey.
Oh. Mmm. It's salty.
Primula has improved.
Mmm.
I mean, I didn't realise it was in a plastic tube now. It used to be in that like a metal tube that used to split, so when you were trying to push it out, that's it would so come true. Out of other bits, and you'd have it all over your hands, all over your sleeves.
Yeah. Mm. Whoa, I enjoyed that.
I really love seeing...
That's one lucky dog.
All the packets in front of me, because I
didn't want to not give you options.
I always think that it's the reason that ultra-processed foods goes so deep and is so difficult to get out of the British psyche, because I'm not saying for one minute that we can live on this. We can't.
No.
And anybody with any brain at all knows you have to eat a vegetable now and again.
Yeah.
I never go, and I don't write the book because I'm like, you can live on Arctic roll. Vitamins are idiotic.
Yeah.
However, I do often think that the ultra-processed food debate misses out the fact that look at this packet of Monster Munch. Yeah. Look at the purple packet of Monster Munch.
It's iconic.
Look at that little monster. He's been in my life forever.
Yeah.
And when I see that just sitting there, it subliminally is saying, going to the off license with the money that I found down the back of the couch.
Yeah.
And going and with 11 pence, they were probably in that day. God knows how much they are now. Can you even buy them individual now, or do you have to buy them in the huge bin?
You can, but I think it's grab bag or bust individual now. So I've only witnessed them as available in supermarkets as part of a meal deal.
What is a grab bag?
Bigger bag. But these...
What does that mean?
These are in from a multi-pack. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean...
We debate so much in society and feel like that we need to have a conversation. But they just came straight in with a grab bag. Yeah. Nobody consulted us.
Yeah,
they suddenly said, you can only have this amount of crisps if you go to a supermarket and buy 22 packets.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, you have to have a grab bag, which is enough for everybody in your Avanti train carriage at once. And then... And that's it. There's the two choices. You can either have that, or you can have a massive big bag of kettle chips.
It's such a head fuck. I hadn't even thought about this. For a long time, there's been a standard packet of crisps that I wasn't aware was insufficient. It seemed to me, almost arguably, successful and timelessly perfect in terms of quantity of crisps. And now you have either got that. You've either got to feed or know that you've fed yourself with an army's crisps, or you've got to have one of these pathetic 20-gram bags, which I'm not going to lie, I've had two off before you arrived. I had to have two off before you arrived. I had roast beef, not pickled onion, and I know I'm having an inferior flavour there, but it's a mood thing, and I feel like I know if I'm dealing with 20 grams, I'm not having one, I'm having two. And in the same way that wines generally need to be done in a certain order in terms of you've got one posh one and the rest were from a box or a bag or a 3-for-1 deal. Well, whichever order you do it in, I like beef followed by pickled onion. Once you've gone to pickled onion, everything else is pickled onion for the next month. It gets into
that
your
pores.
That
sounds like a Morrissey song.
Yeah.
Everything else is pickled onion.
Oh, I can feel a new tattoo.
If he just
on.
Wrote songs about that, he'd be fine, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't be in trouble as much.
Yeah, and it would have hurt less to get just pickled onion Monster Munch thrown at him during his concerts. Oh, other things that your book made me remember that I'd thought I'd forgotten forever included. I think a lot of the things that come up for people sound like the sort of thing you'd have when you got in from school before there was an adult there.
Yes.
The freedom in that. And one of mine that we had microwave chips. Do you remember that as a thing?
Microchips.
And you'd,
in a little box.
Yeah, and they
sweat. A black box.
I think they were steamed in the microwave, really, in the black box. And then you'd put essentially a sort of half centimetre of table salt on the top of there, like the Alps.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that was good. And Chicago Town pizza, microwave pizza. It did.
Yeah, I think a Chicago Town pizza, I think they were actually pretty delicious.
Yeah.
Oh. They were. But then people are sniffy about frozen pizzas.
People are wrong.
And I think that in my freezer, I keep a load of them. I just buy them in bulk and then I take the boxes off them because no one needs to know how to cook a pizza.
Yeah.
It's just taking up room, taking up real estate in my house. I live in London. So I take them all out of the boxes and then I just put them into the bottom of the freezer. And then when my bloke comes in, like, kind of ridiculously asking me what's for dinner, because he does every single time, even though I've been a fucking MasterChef all day, right? It's like, with people, it's like, how are you asking me make something? But you realise in the end it's just quicker to do it.
Yeah.
And I go and get one of these pizzas and then zhuzh it up with anything I can find. Mm-hmm. And he's more excited about that than if I'd brought home something cooked by Gordon Ramsay himself. You can literally get the bottom, is it Dr. Oetker's?
Oh, yeah, they're amazing.
The Dr. Oetker pizza. And then you just get a handful of any cheese. And you know that, you know the jar of herbs that's been on 4 or 5 house moves with you?
And it's Herbe de Provence.
Herbe de Provence. But it's so dry by this point, it's potpourri.
Yeah.
And you're just putting it onto the pizza. And then any kind of blob of anything, you're getting stuff you bought from a Marks and Spencer's meal deal a week ago that's already got a beard because it's old. You're like, oh, sun-dried tomatoes. Lovely. And you take it out and he's like, this is so delicious. So people, I think people are sniffy about the frozen pizza. Bring it back.
Yeah. Oh, God, superb. Also, that's, I think, a genuinely useful life tip about taking the box off.
Yes. That's the thing I want to be remembered for.
Is
yeah, actually,
what, just
absolutely nothing else. Just random moments of absolute shit I said in podcasts. That's
what my entire career.
I want to be.
At least you've also
darling,
got the sort of presenting and the brilliant writing.
I want people to stand up at my funeral, and I've got, well, for a start, I've got my friend Courtney. I've made a promise that she's going to get up and go. The thing about Grace is that she never had a bad word to say about anyone. And I want her to say it in a really deadpan way and sit down.
That's
her speech.
She can remember that and everything.
So that everyone can go, what the fuck?
What?
I want everybody to start going, that's absolute bullshit. And the second thing I want someone to say is, when she told me to take the pizzas out of the box, it gave us a lot more space for frozen peas. So thank you.
Grandiosis.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiosis.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, lovely bums. I'm just hopping in here with a little self-inflicted interlude to show off some of your most brilliant and interesting and funny answers to some of the questions we've asked you on social media. If you're thinking, pardon, make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter. For example, I recently let my 7-year-old loose on a coconut in the garden in an attempt to get into it. I gave him a hammer and a coconut. Long story short, he smashed up quite a bit of the wall as well as the coconut. And all we learnt was that I'm the only person in my house who likes fresh coconut. So for the following 6 days, I was about 85% coconut. It's so filling, actually. You forget, don't you, that clue's in the name. It is an enormous fucking great big massive nut. Off the back of that, I asked you, what's the hardest food you've ever had to get into and was it worth it? We had a voice note. My favourite, Ileana said,
one of the hardest things I've ever had to open to eat was, which can be quite easy if you have the right tools, it's just a coconut. But I was on the beach in Costa Rica with my two friends, very remote little town on the Caribbean coast, and I had a Swiss Army knife, which I decided to try and hammer into one of the little holes at the top. Right when I got just in it, the knife closed on my finger and cut my finger in half, which was fun since there wasn't any medical facilities nearby. And the disappointing thing is I didn't even get to eat the coconut.
Oh, shit. Well, that's bad, Liliana. That is bad. I'm sorry about that. I'm really sorry about your finger and stuff. And, yeah, well, this is that. I mean, it's just a horror story. What you told us there is a nightmare from a bad dream. I'm so sorry, mate. We had some other stunning answers from you lot, including Kaz, who simply wrote, in terms of the hardest to get to, she simply wrote, the last Pringle. Loved it. I absolutely love that. Seriously, though, worth it, isn't it? It is worth it, even if you have to get a really sort of greasy arm. The most worth it of all, I'd argue, was put to us from John on Instagram, who said, a giant Toblerone. One Alp is equivalent to one normal bar. I love this. For a start, I'm calling a segment an Alp for the rest of my life now, John. Thank you. I've been travelling a lot for work at the moment, lads, and my cupboards are largely full only of those huge Toblerones. You know the ones we mean, John and I. Each bar is the length and girth of an adult limb, and I love them so much. And yes, they're a workout for the thumbs to snap off an Alp, but it's worth it. Oh, except for maybe the orange and crystally gingery one, which I think is weird and chewy in ways that I don't want. Anyway, I was particularly chuffed to include this one today, John, because actually, these type of massive Toblerones get a mention in Grace's latest brilliant book, Comfort Eating. Okay, Dan, on the subject of hard to get into food, on Twitter wrote this. Opening a bottle of wine, there was a vacuum behind, took all my strength to pry open. My arm recoiled and smashed into the granite wall behind me, and a broken knuckle. Christ, Dan. Okay, I mean, even if that was a bottle of Dom Perignon one, that sounds like that one was the least worth it. That was the hard work one that was the least worth it. A few more funny ones. Rosie tickled me on Instagram with the graft involved getting into an artichoke heart bite, and I quote, teeth scraping 1,000 leaf bits, which she described as a bit of a bastard. S.E. Lines has written, a Brazil nut in 1978. Still got it if anyone wants. I don't think, I've put that shout out for you. And last but absolutely spot on and very funny from Beltranosaurus, who said, an unripe mango. A ripe mango is bliss. An unripe mango, soap. Really nice. What an absolute treasure trove you lot are. Thanks so much for your answers. Listen out for yours, featuring future episodes too, and watch the socials for the latest question. New ones are being asked all the time. Let's get back into this episode with Grace. I should ask you some questions that I would normally ask on this podcast.
Ask me anything.
Do you think there's anything that demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way? Very fast, very slow, in a particular order?
I think it's I think the moment that people start enforcing rules, I just turn off. You know, if you want to eat a custard cream by just eating it rather than dissecting it.
Just in a wanna, like a piece of sushi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do it. I think it's whatever.
I think people should chew once or twice, like a fresh oyster. At least two chomps.
Where do you stand on oysters?
I really love them. But I've made friends ill. I've got... not through my poor... By going to... I mean,
I have a really dangerous tradition if I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is a slog for comedians. Mm. You get your first night out of the way, and then me and a small group of friends go to a restaurant in Leith, and we'll have incredible oysters.
Oh, where do you go?
Oh God, I'm not going to be able to remember the
name. It's okay.
Of it.
Don't worry. I'm exactly the same when someone says where was it, and I have no idea.
I can draw you a picture of the outside.
Text me afterwards because yeah, I'm always fascinated.
It's on the water, and there's black bollards outside, and it's on a corner, and it looks very tiny when you go in, but there is a bigger back room.
So you go down there, and you all have oysters,
and we all have oysters, and it's really dangerous. If you got ill before you're meant to be performing it, you know, five times a day, every day for a month, that's a really bad move.
As you're saying this, I'm like thinking, this is why I find stand-up comedians so bamboozling to spend time with. You are all signing up for a 30-day stint where the only thing that you have to do is be there at 7 o'clock at night and not shit yourself during that 45 minutes.
So I quickly ate 12 giant allergens. The night before, the most nervous performance of them all, the first.
Got to get me some of the oysters.
My subconscious is begging for a reason to go home, Grace.
That is interesting, though. Yeah. You say that as a joke. That is self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Like me when I used to have to go to Glastonbury because I was married to someone in the music industry and I used to get there. And on the second day, I used to really hope that lightning would hit the pyramid stage so I could go home. Because I like the idea I was there. It's like, look at me, I'm here, I'm here. Look at me in my hunter boots and my shorts. Fuck, please let me go home. So it's like an act of God was allowing me to just be in bed.
Completely.
And you are, in a way, if someone said, oh, well, she's hospitalised with oysters, then there's no shame.
Yeah, she's had a bad prawn. Send her home. And I love that we got to that from, do you think there's anything that needs to be eaten in a ritualistic way?
Yeah.
The other, I think, fascinating thing about stand-ups is somehow we can make it all about us. tell me about a time where you ate something when you had no idea what it was.
Oh, God. Well, I would say that there's a lot of times when I'm eating things that I don't really know what it is because I eat in lots and lots a very, very fancy restaurant. Yeah. So I think I'm continuously eating valves and unknown tubes and genitalia that because there's a real glorification amongst that amongst the chefs. It's like, oh, if you think about it, the most delicious bit actually is the testicle. What you do is you just stew it for 22 hours. And all the men sit around going, yes, yes, absolutely right. But I come from a working class background where I just grew up amongst people that saw steak as being the best, delicious.
Yeah.
Something that is recognisable as delicious. So I live in these two worlds where taking unrecognisable things, valves, sweetbreads, internal things, things that smell of urine, of urine. So, I think my answer would be constantly.
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 You're constantly having to taste something that smells of urine.
So something coming across a restaurant which has a whiff of the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, my flipping God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's extraordinary and it's so fun and fascinating and, like, I think, you know, anyone in their right mind wants to advocate for going to eat animals. I'd really love you to eat all the different bits and bobs, but there is also a really kind of masculine glorification of the, you know. Well, I've even used the inner bones of the earlobe.
All of that.
Yeah, and you're like,
Well, I mean, I got into trouble really from the very beginning by not, like, I love animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love animals probably more than people. And I would, as I always say, you know that pub in the photos where in the posters where it's just dogs playing pool.
I would
love to work in that pub.
Oh yeah.
Because it would just be so much fun. However, I do end up eating bits of meat now and again. I was a vegetarian when I was younger, but I will never really be behind that whole idea of the glorious 12th,
yeah,
where the glorification of eating the most disgusting things, or seeing some beautiful thing that's galloping through the fields and then shooting it through the head and eating it. Now,
yeah,
it is difficult because people do talk about nose to tail,
mm-hmm,
but, and it is respectful, but I am not entirely sure it is respectful to the animal. I think it was still...
I think once the animal's been killed for us to eat, the animal couldn't give a fuck if we're going to make it to the testicles and earlobes, could it?
Yeah.
That part is done. But it's just and it's also not... We could get into serious territory there.
Yeah.
And actually, on this scale...
Let's not.
Let's
we can't leave it.
Quick fire questions. Apart from milk of some sort, do you know what the first thing you ever ate was?
Farley's Rusk.
Love to hear it. Ooh. Ever revisited as anyone bigger than or older than a baby?
I bought a packet of them about a month ago test them for the book.
Yeah.
And then carried them around eating them.
Yeah.
They're delicious. They're still delicious.
Tell me about something you ate in the dark.
I mean, I eat in the dark a lot because I love to be in bed and I love to eat by the light of Netflix.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for a packet of mint Viscounts that I've got on the go at the moment.
Yeah.
So, yes, sitting in bed in the dark eating mint Viscounts.
I'd love to know, do you just bite it like a normal biscuit or do you get the minty bit done separately to the biscuity bit, or do you care about the chocolate edge being done in?
I'm going to just eat it like a biscuit. I think the three things need to happen at once.
Good to know. We are letting ourselves get into the gritty stuff today.
It's fine.
Have you ever eaten food intended for a pet?
Oh, absolutely. I think that some of the lowest parts in the many times I've been single is sitting with a tin of tuna.
Mm.
Eating half of it yourself and giving the other half to the cat.
Yeah.
But putting a little bit of salad cream in yours to try and differentiate between you and essentially the cat. Just sitting in your...
It's a lovely bonding moment, though. That,
sitting in your kitchen
exactly
going,
the same food as
maybe he'll call. Maybe he's lost my number. Maybe.
I must have written it down wrong.
Maybe I wrote it down.
Last quickfire one. If there was no other option, would you eat a person?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, what history has shown us is there seems to be a very short gap between being on the side of a hill beside a plane, being upset and eating your friends. There's a very small gap here. When you look
worryingly
at these...
small gap there.
It feels as if one minute you're going, oh my God, there's no way, never getting out of here. And then you're like going... Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the big then question.
A terrible new virus threatens humanity called Bovid-19, where people partly transform into goats, bisons and cows, but not entirely, just at the front and back ends. Face and ass, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolute fucking disaster. It's an apocalypse of moonoids, methane farts and really scary gangs around every turnstile. Our self-esteem plummets at the same time the planet's temperature soars because of all the guffs. But luckily, it's agreed to have never, ever happened. But only if you, and it does have to be you, agree to peel 919 gourds and squashes with no breaks at all whilst reading out transcripts of the last 5 years of Newsnight. So your mouth's too busy even for snacks. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! You go down in history as the woman who saved us all from Bovid-19. Your award is the adulation of all people for all time, a place in history as a kind of deity, really, but your award in the moment is the feast of your dreams. This is the opposite of a last meal because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier. This is a beginning. This is not an end. It's a fantasy situation. If you were the happiest and hungriest you'd ever been, you've basically just gone into history for this incredible reason. In that moment, what would you eat and what would you drink?
Wow. That was like
sitting next to somebody that's bowled into a party who's bought some really cheap base sulf from somebody by a pool table somewhere, and they've come in and they've just dropped an enormous amount of it, and you're like, yeah, I think I need to leave now. This girl's a handful. Right, so what would I eat? Yeah. I would eat a really amazing, an amazing biryani.
Yes.
With everything, all the bits, though, and extra bits. And I would order so much that there was just tons and tons of it left. Oh. And pickles and different breads. That would be my celebration.
Oh, I love it. What are your go-to bits if it's an Indian feast?
Anything spinachy and anything potatoy, but anything lentily, anything daly, because I have never made a dal at home, which is anywhere as good as anything that's made in any takeaway. Yeah. And I don't understand what's going on there.
Yeah.
And whenever I mention this, amazing chefs of Indian heritage say to me, well, what are you doing wrong? It's just some lentils and some this and that. Yeah. And then I do it and it hasn't got that depth.
No.
So I would swim in a vat of that. But you know, people slag off dishoom. But you know that the black dal that they do. Yes,
they even do it at breakfast time.
Oh my God.
I really like that.
I think what might be
making that quite special is cream.
Quite a lot of cream.
Quite a lot of cream.
It's just, yummy. It's so delicious. Mm. And it just scooping bread through they deliver it as well. They deliver it. I mean, obviously it's not being made in the restaurant. It's been made in someone's garage down a back lane somewhere. But it can be if you live in London, it can be in your house in about nine and a half minutes.
I feel bad for saying cream as well, because even the dishoom cookbook, every recipe in there takes 4 months to produce. It's so laborious. It is just time and love.
Those cookbooks from restaurants are not for people to make the food.
No.
What they do is they're basically just proving to you how difficult it is to make the food.
One thing from each book once.
Nobody's ever going to start making their own dishoom food from scratch. It's just an enormous.
Someone with a job and all the rest going on.
The bit that you were talking about when you went into your I'm going to say coke-addled rant
thank you. About COVID-19.
Where does that come from?
I'll tell you where it's come from. I've become obsessed with a new online quiz game I do every day called Connections, which is basically a version of...
I do it too. I do it too.
I got it today and my missus didn't.
Right. You do it in the morning.
Yeah.
Before I go to sleep every night.
But then the risk in that is that sometimes I don't get to bed before midnight. And if I've gone over the threshold into the new day,
the next day,
I'm furious that I missed a day. So if I can, I get it done in the day, because I don't want to run the risk of not getting my connections hit.
No one's talking about connections, and I'll tell you why.
But Bovid, I learned the word Bovid from a recent connection.
Right.
And then was in the following hours writing this question.
People are embarrassed to talk about connections because when it was first put up, all the people that watch Victoria
Only
Collins
Connect
were like, this is just Only Connect.
Yeah.
And I think people feel disloyal now.
And I understand that because she's an icon.
The same thing, though.
It is the same.
But you can
do it
in your own house without having to hang out with those Only Connect people.
Also, I think there's a lot of games like that where we're playing a variation. I mean, Boulder Dash, that there's 100,000. That brilliant new show, Traitors, is just Wink Murder.
Yes.
We do take a basic concept, and we do. They're hard to copyright, those things. What a funny note to end on. Thank you for doing my silly podcast. Thank you for writing your beautiful, funny, moving... Oh, you are going to come away from reading this book so... happy and hungry. It's fucking great. Thank you for it, and thank you for everything you do. I think you're splendid.
Hang on, is this the real podcast?
We're starting now.
Thank you for having me. This is amazing. Thank you for the feast you've put in front of us.
Pleasure, my pleasure.
Oh.
Hoovering Podcast.
What a fucking honour. I have read Comfort Eating cover to cover. It made me scream laughing and it filled and emptied and filled my heart again and again. If you love eating, fucking just get it, will you? Now. Her last book, Hungry, is flipping glorious as well. Yes, Comfort Eating is the book we were talking about in this conversation, and that is available now from all good bookshop places. She's on Instagram at Grace Dent, and if you're quick too, you can have the sheer unbridled joy of being in a room with her as well. If you catch her on her book tour, go to gracedent.comi.io, or as with everything always, there will be a link in the podcast notes. For me, it's just a reminder that I'm going on my brand new tour with my brand new show Metal from the start of next year, and tickets are going on sale any second now. To be the first to get a heads up about getting hold of those tickets, please do join my mailing list. Link in my Instagram bio or in the podcast notes as well. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.